How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. These stories are becoming a weekly occurrence, and they're not just stories. They are YouTube videos. We see them on the internet. They are splashed across social media. They are gruesome, and they are explicit. Now, sometimes we see one of these, and maybe the task here is to desensitize us or oversensitize us. It's difficult to know what's going on when ISIS continues both to kill and to document their killing of Christians. Who could deny that they are targeting Christians, especially when they import Ethiopian Christians to kill there in the latest video that we have seen? Joining us to talk about the killing of 30 Ethiopian Christians by the Islamic State, Raymond Ibrahim, is a fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and the Hoover Institute and author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Raymond, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be back with you.
The White House has issued a statement calling this a brutal mass murder and condemning the fact that solely because of their faith, these men are murdered, and it lays bare the terrorist's vicious, senseless brutality. Does this statement go far enough in recognizing what ISIS is doing to Christians?
Well, it doesn't, but it's actually an improvement on their last statement when the 21 Christian cops in February were beheaded in the same exact way, in the same orange jumpsuits, and had their heads carved off, again, just because they're Christian. Then the White House issued a statement that did not add in any way, shape, or form even mention religion or anything. It just said that, Libyan terrorists killed Egyptian citizens, and so there was absolutely no context whatsoever about faith, and they got a lot of criticism for that. So now we have this new statement about the Ethiopians where, again, it doesn't mention Christianity, but at least it mentions the word faith. It still leaves it somewhat ambiguous. But, the long and short of it is the White House is very clear on trying not to show that this is anything about targeting Christians, the Islamic State, that is, that it's just a terrorist organization that has absolutely nothing to do with Islam, and it's killing everyone, mostly Muslims, not Christians. And it's important to remember, a lot of people bring this up to me and they say, well, they're killing Muslims. That's clear evidence they're not true Muslims. But you have to remember that when they attack and kill fellow Muslims, such as they're Sunnis, ISIS. So if Sunnis kill Shias or vice versa, it's in the same context as killing a Christian infidel. They see those Muslims as not true Muslims or apostates, heretics, infidels, and so forth. So, yeah, the long of it is the White House is just still not being straightforward about ISIS's motives and where they get their motives, which is the Islamic teachings and doctrines.
Well, ISIS is hardly leaving them room for, broad interpretations. They refer in the video to the victims of these killings, shootings and beheadings, as crusaders, and then in a subtitle, Worshippers of the Cross Belonging to the Hostile Ethiopian Church. I mean, that's kind of on a silver platter right there for the U.S. State Department, not necessarily open to any kind of broader interpretation.
Well, absolutely. And see, the thing you have to remember is groups like the Islamic State and what they're doing, this beheading and slaughter, and especially the idea of persecuting Christians, has been going on for decades. But the mainstream media rarely, if ever, will mention it. And if they do, like the White House, they sort of expunge the religious element. But what's happened is the Islamic State, because of its own media wing, broadcasting these videos, makes it so that no one can deny it. And I have no doubt that if it wasn't for the Islamic State boasting and showing off all that it's doing, we here in the West would just barely know a tiff of what they really are doing if we were just relying on the mainstream media, as we have been for decades. And so, you just look at them and what they say and what they write and it's all a religious holy war. Christians are all infidels. In that very video, after they slaughter the Ethiopians, the narrator, a man in a black mask holding a gun or a knife, starts waving it and saying, you Christians in the West are essentially next, and you will never have peace. I think his exact words, you will never have peace even if you're in your dreams until you convert to Islam or pay jizya, which is basically tribute money, extortion money, to exist as an infidel under Islamic authority. So it's all there, and yet here in the West, of course, they're still trying to, maintain that Western narrative that this has nothing to do with Islam, it's a political, economic issue, and so forth.
Now, how do we understand ISIS, and then this is probably true of other Muslim terrorist groups, the conflation of, they talk about the nation of the cross, they're not there talking about the Christian church, they're talking about the West, in particular the United States and its allies. How are we to understand the conflation of the West with Christianity in their mind?
Well, this is actually an important point, and we have to remember that in the Muslim mentality, a person's identity is not, unlike the West, it's not by nationality, American, French, German, etc. It's religion. And so for so long, because Europe, of course, the West, was Christian, in the popular Muslim mind, Christianity is one with the West. And so America is to them a Christian nation. Europe is a Christian nation, and of course, and so this is why, by the way, when the West, let's say the latest example, the Charlie Hebdo attacks in Paris, where the cartoons and satirical cartoons of Muhammad and Islamic terrorists went and killed several people working in the offices, and then the Muslims in the Islamic world started attacking Christians because of that, because to them they conflate that the actions of basically an atheist satirical magazine is representative of Christians. So in Niger, they locked Christians in churches and set them on fire, trying to burn them alive, and they burned so many churches and killed Christians. In Pakistan, they invaded a church, they invaded a Christian school, beat people up, and the logic was because of what the Charlie Hebdo thing is. When the Pope Benedict spoke and he quoted history, if you'll recall, I think back in 2007, Muslims rioted all over the world and attacked Christians in the Islamic world. I remember in Somalia, a nun was shot in the back and so forth. So to the Islamic mind, you know, the West, Coptic Christians, Ethiopian Christians, all these Christians are just one. They are the nation of the cross. They are one enemy.
What do we risk by failing to realize that this is how Islam, as a political and religious system, this is how it comprehends world politics, these various worldviews?
Sure. Well, you know, you go back to Sun Tzu, you know, the military tactician, Chinese guy from several millennia ago, and he just said it right there, you know your enemy. And he also said, know yourself. And so if you don't know your enemy and what motivates it and what's his motive and goals and so forth, you're kind of working in a vacuum and you don't really know how to approach it. And this is why for decades we've supposedly been, warring against terrorism in different contexts, Islamic terrorism, without mentioning it, without appreciating its motives and so forth. And it's only gotten worse. The United States went into Iraq. I say it's went into Libya, and now those happen to be the two areas where the Islamic State caliphate is decapitating people left and right. And much of this is because we are not acknowledging the motives and the sources of all this animus.
How then would you evaluate the advance of the Islamic State? I mean, it's obviously something that cannot be isolated to a certain region, although it's more active, at least publicly active, in some regions other than others. But how would you evaluate its advance?
Well, it keeps advancing. Originally, even its own name, they called themselves ISIS or ISIL, which was in Arabic. Translated into English was Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or Levant, if you go with ISIL. And so now they call themselves just the Islamic State because they realize they're growing or they want to grow. Now they have their affiliates in Libya, Nigeria, Boko Haram, which is just as disgusting as ISIS in their massacre of Christians and innocent people, women and children, and so forth, pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. So now they're a wing. And all these other subgroups and factions and lone wolves and so forth do see them as the new caliphate and have pledged a sort of allegiance, including people right here in America and, of course, in Europe. And we see reports of this all the time happening. So they've definitely advanced in the propaganda side of things and have sort of egged Islamist-type-minded Muslims on to join the caravan of jihad, as they call it, but also on the real ground, they're making advances. And, you know, if you follow what the Pentagon says, sometimes they talk about how, well, we've recovered this land and so forth. Then a month later, you find out, oh, actually, Islamic State has more land than before, and the whole thing keeps fluctuating. So it's really hard to be sure exactly what their influence territorially is at the moment.
So with allies across borders of nations, with a growing influence and then obviously a growing ability to strike terror, at least through social media and the internet, what are your concerns about the next 10 years? I mean, obviously, this is not going away.
Well, you know, I was just going to write an article about this, and based on pictures that I've been seeing, you know, forget about our generation for a moment. Let's think of younger children. And you look at what the Islamic State is, not just the Islamic State, but Saudi Arabia, wherever you have these type-minded Muslims around, and you're going to see little children, boys, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, holding the decapitated heads of infidels, shooting them in the head, carving their heads off. They're being trained in this sort of, you know, animalistic worldview based on religion. And, you know, these are the upcoming generations, the Muslim generations, which means it's actually going to be worse. And then, you know, you juxtapose, I don't know, the Western young male, young boy today who's, you know, just completely clueless about all this and just playing video games and whatever. So, you know, when you think of the future projecting ahead, unless something really changes, then it's going to be dramatically worse.
Raymond Ibrahim is a fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and the Hoover Institute. He's author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. We will post a link to this book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Raymond, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks very much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time in this hour and on into the next remembering someone that really needs to be remembered. He died on this day in 1558. Martin Luther's pastor, Johannes Bugenhagen. Far more, if that wasn't enough, than just Luther's pastor, a major, major player in the 16th century Reformation. We'll find out how with Dr. Kurt Hendel right after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.